All right, if you take your Bibles and let's return to the book of Acts. I think it's great that Vicky comes home fired up. Kathy comes home tired out. So kind of a little difference there. So, but I understand that BJ has to be at the airport tomorrow at 4 a.m., to begin his trek to South Carolina, 4 a.m. Don't worry about that, because that's going to be early. From now on, 5 a.m. When I was in boot camp, it was really interesting. You see, our DI showed up, and it was just before 5, and I was in the restroom, he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, "What time is it, sir?" And he said, "It's 4:45, Airman." And I said, "Boy, you better get to bed because we're getting up early." So you're going to meet 17-year-olds like me once you're posted, and they're going to need a lot of help. I needed a lot of help back then. So anyway, so if you're in the book of Acts, we're going to return to looking at this point about Peter. That God is not partial to people. He's not concerned about what their ethnicity is. He created all of us. He created every ethnic group that there is. He didn't create one of them that is superior over the other one. So just in case anyone here is like Peter, who had a problem with that, as we saw last week in our recap, we'll go over that just a little bit more as we go deeper into the scriptures. Father, we want so much to glean from your heart to ours what it is that you want us to know. You've given us these three essential questions at the beginning of our message notes. You want us to think deeply about what you're going to be sharing with us today. And every time we come to your word, this living, active, authoritative word over our lives. Father, we're asking you to speak into our hearts in such a way that we understand that we need, now that we have heard it, now that we understand it, whether we like it or not, we are now to go and do it. So may your Holy Spirit be our mentor this morning and move us in the direction we need to go to honor you, to be transformed by your word, and conformed to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, I ask this sincerely for our sake and for your glory. Amen. We learned last week as we were doing our recap, having been away from the book of Acts for many, many months, looking at issues that are going on in the church and in America. We saw last week the Gentiles are about to hear the good news. And that's good, because that good news meant that you and I were eventually going to be hearing about the gospel. Up to this point, the thousands upon thousands that were coming to faith that we saw in the first chapters of the book of Acts were all Jewish people. And now us non-Jews were getting an opportunity to follow after the Lord Jesus. We learned last week that the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles, Cornelius, his family, those other Roman soldiers that were with him in that home that he had purchased, that Peter was preaching the gospel in. We had learned that the Holy Spirit came to them exactly as he did the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost. So on page 3 of your notes is where we're going to pick up this morning. I'm going to begin with the fact that the Lord did not at this time blame Peter for his faulty theology or the attitude of prejudice that he held towards the goyim, towards those who were not of Judaism, those people who were non-Jews, people of any other nation, he had a bigotry against. The fact is, he inherited a long tradition of an attitude of superiority toward members of other ethnic groups from his parents as well as his teachers, rabbis. He held this to his heart because he believed that this is what God wanted, but it is not what God wanted from the beginning. As the most visible leader in the church at this particular moment, Peter needed to have his heart changed. Peter needed to have a heart that was like the Lord Jesus. Peter needed a radical spiritual heart surgery. Just as there are those in the American church today that need this same surgery. They need it greatly. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 23, the Lord prepared Peter's heart by correcting his theology, his understanding of God. Some history. Look at your notes. The dietary laws our Heavenly Father gave to Moses and the Israelites had served their purpose. I would like you, because I haven't written these in, but I'd like you to write down in your notes concerning the dietary laws for Jewish people just before this time. You'll find this in Exodus 23 in verse 19, and then in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. Read the entire chapter over. And then move over to the book of Deuteronomy and read over chapter 14. The restrictions taught the Hebrews, looking back at your notes, that they are a sanctified race, a priestly nation, designated by God Himself to be His representatives in the world, to the nations. They failed at that. They didn't do it. But let's not get thinking that we're superior somehow to the Jewish people at that time. At least in America, the Christian church is dying. We know that numerically. The church is dying. And it's dying because the church is not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who need the gospel. The churches in the San Fernando Valley are dying. Look at the empty seats, family. We're not the only ones. The church is dying because the church in the San Fernando Valley is not sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you see our red and white roses, as the gospel is shared, the white roses are transferred over here. Do you see any this morning? As people come to faith in the gospel, into having heard the gospel and have faith in Christ, we move the red roses from there over here. Do you see any red roses? Did you have an opportunity this last week to share the gospel? Now, I realize that some of you will not have probably had that opportunity. But bear in mind, there are 1,700,000, actually more than that, but that's the last statistic I could get, of people that live in the San Fernando Valley. 1,700,000. And 7% of them, no, they don't go to church. among the 7%, there are those that come to church, but there are those that are going to synagogue, and others that are going to temple, and other cults meeting on Sunday. I, for one, I pray, and the staff knows, I pray even over them, that we will, each one of us, have an opportunity to share the gospel, because we want not to show you, because we don't tell you who the white ones are or the red ones are. But it was a beautiful thing during our greeting period. We're not paying attention to this. We're paying attention to each other with greetings. But it was nice to see that white and red roses were moving to the other side, because we were sharing the gospel. I think we've gotten out of the habit, maybe because of COVID-19. My encouragement is that your prayer becomes mine, that he will give me an opportunity every single day to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I can say, I didn't get that opportunity last week. I can't spend enough time at Starbucks with the baristas who all know me and love me, but they have to move along to the next customer. I'd like to just turn around a line and say, all of you, sit down. I have something to say. But with that, I'm sure I would be driven out to my car. The restrictions taught the Hebrews that they are a sanctified race, a priestly nation, designated by him to be the representatives to all the nations. But the time had come for change. A new era had dawned, and that era is the church era in which you and I find ourselves this morning, and have been in since the birth of the church. Believers, whether Jewish or Gentile, no longer have to come to the temple to meet God. They no longer have to have someone else praying for them, though we like other people to pray with us and over us and for us. Just as people used to have to go to the temple, now you and I, we can go to our gnosko time. We can go to that very special, private, intimate time with the Lord Jesus Christ and spend that DPE with him, that deep personal experience, every day, throughout the day. He's really longing to spend time with each and every one of us. Every one of us. He wants to speak into our hearts. Believers no longer need to express their faith through sacrifices, the slaughter of sheep, the slaughter of bulls, etc. They don't have to do those things anymore. The sacrifice has been made. We're going to celebrate it and not too many more moments from now. That sacrifice, Jesus is the Lamb of God. His cousin said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John was looking at his cousin, Jesus, our Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We don't have to have a priest offer up a sacrifice for us. We have become royal priests. You read Peter's very first epistle, his letter, chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, and you will see where he speaks about you are now the royal priesthood. You, each of you who have been born again, you are a royal priest. You're part of a holy nation. America certainly isn't a holy nation. But Christ's nation is a holy nation, and you're a part of it. And he calls each and every one of you his prized possession. Prized possession. You know, Kathy and I, we think of our kids and our grandkids. They are prized possessions. They're part of our family. And Jesus has you in his family. You are his brothers, men. You are his sisters, ladies. Do you understand how special that makes you? An adopted son or daughter of the Most High God? He doesn't want you to have to come before him and simply always address him as Father. He wants you to come before him and remember he is Abba, Father. I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. And I'm looking forward to our personal time together. As parents, look forward to spending time with their kids, especially moms. We men would do well to get more of a mother's heart to add to our father's heart. Believers no longer need to express their faith through sacrifice and the aid of a priest. They now have direct access to the ultimate priest, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. To be saved, all people, brown, yellow, black, or white, all people alike must believe in Jesus with the fullness of their hearts. And the one, Jesus, who knows every heart will respond regardless of your color, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your political persuasion, and regardless of your economic status. If you look at your notes, Peter understood the Lord's message theologically, but he failed to see how it applied to the process of conversion. That's when our Lord Jesus gave Peter an opportunity, an action step, to go and speak to the Gentiles, to go to Cornelius's home upon his request, and to share the gospel. But in going, Peter had to let go of those things that were already taught that he possessed in his heart, the prejudices. He had to let them go. That was one of the, as I've taught in the past, the acrostic ants, automatic negative thoughts. There are people, when they see a pastor coming, they have an automatic negative thought against him. When they see a person of a particular political persuasion, they see a picture, oh, let's say, of the governor of California. Some of them have ants crawling all over them concerning the governor of California. Not all, but some. Peter obeyed our Lord's command to go with the Gentiles that had come to get him. Remember, there was one soldier and there were two servants of Cornelius that came and requested him. And so Peter, a prejudiced Jew, had heart surgery up on that roof. And he automatically let go the ants and went with these three goyim, along with six other Jewish men from the Joppa church. He gained more completeness of his understanding of his theology and now his understanding of conversion by being obedient. He may not have felt like he wanted to do this, but he did it because his Lord told him to. And the Lord tells us time and again in this precious love letter that he provides us things that he wants you and I to do. And there are preachers out there, of which I don't consider myself a part of, that say, well, he may have said that, but it's okay if you take your time. One to 5 years is okay. No. If he said we are to do something, he meant we are to do it, and we should do it now. First opportunity. I want you to be tender towards people. I don't want you to be malicious towards people. I want you to be kind and patient. Don't write those nasty things you write on social media. Who gave you the right to say such awful things? He says, be gentle. Love them. Seek their best, their highest good, at your expense. Yeah, they said something nasty about me. Yeah, they said lots of nasty things about him, didn't they, Father? And he said nothing back to them that was nasty. He prayed for them. He died for them. So he obeyed the commands. He went to the Gentiles to preach the gospel to them. And in the process, he gained this maturity, this completeness of understanding, just like you will. And I have, and yet will. In John 3, 16 and verse 17, look at the text. I'm going to pull it apart for you as I read it. Most of you learned it, maybe if you were children, like kids in King's Kids. I didn't go to King's Kids. I didn't come to faith till I was an adult, as most of you know. But Jesus says this, for God so loved you. My Father in heaven, so agape, sought your best, your greatest good. Expense, at his expense, that whoever, if I'm talking about the lambs, I'm talking about the Sarabis, I'm talking about the Nishimis, I'm talking about the Composts, I'm talking about everyone, whoever, whatever your background is, whoever believes in Jesus should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life. Now understand, everybody has eternal life. When you die, you have eternal life. Some of you will go to heaven. I'm not certain that all of us will. And if we don't go to heaven, we will go to hell. We will have a new body eventually, like our Lord Jesus, those of us who go to heaven, to enjoy him in heaven. Others of us will have a new existence. I don't know if it's going to be a body, but we're going to live in something so that we can be tortured in hell forever. That's why we want our friends and our family and people we know and work with to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Because there's eternity for everyone. For everyone. For God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. Not this time. Next time. But in order that the world might be saved through him. That's why You are his prized possession. That is why you are a royal priest, and that's why you're part of his holy nation. Your job is to live and share the gospel with people who have yet to receive it. And don't give up if you've shared it with someone. Share it again. People shared the gospel with me multiple times before I said my Lord and my God. In other words, the Lord Jesus changed Peter's mind in a vision on the rooftop and then changed Peter's heart through his obedience in the home of Cornelius. All of this suggests a principle and an imperative. A principle and an imperative. The principle, here's your fill-in. What you do is more important than how you feel. Would you say that with me? What you do is more important than how you feel. The Lord is so gracious. He knows how difficult it is for us to go through change. Yet, he can't allow us to remain in the condition in which he finds us. Some of us are saddled with harmful ways of acting and thinking. Others of us are shackled with deep sin. Look at the fact there. Here's your fill-in. Prejudice is only one of our many problems. Our many problems in life. Our many problems in this country, in the world. I received a nice note last week from, I don't know who it is who sent it to me. It was in the box and comes through the box and I get the yellow cards. But they were asking, could I not be preaching about our country's issues? I've been preaching about our country's issues. I don't know if you're here this morning, but if you are you new to us? Because you can go online and you can go backwards and listen to messages that are there dealing with our country. But I've been preaching every week, if we're really listening and paying attention, about issues in our country. We are the country that we are because the church is not the church that Jesus gave birth to. We stopped being that church. Remember, we talked about it a little bit last week. The church no longer, I mean some of the church, just some of the church, they don't any longer love this book. They didn't even open the book last week. And for some of them, they haven't opened it for months. As someone else said, if every Christian in America were to pick up their Bible and open it all at once, at the same moment in America, you would have the biggest dust storm you ever saw in America. They don't want to sit down and listen to the apostles' teachings. They don't want to come to the men's group. They haven't anything better to do, but nonetheless, the guys, you know, most of them stay home. It's only for an hour and a half, guys. Lots of the girls come to the Bible studies. I mean, Kathy offers two of them. She works. But still not all the ladies take the time to come. You see, we don't love the apostles' teaching like they did at the birth of his church. They loved having communion together. They enjoyed it so much because, you see, communion for them, it was done in the home. And in the home, they would have a meal like Jesus was in the midst of the Passover And that's when he instituted it for us. And now that we have it, you know, we can do it in the home. You can do it in the home as well. And they would talk about how they came to faith in the Lord Jesus. How grateful they are for what he did in their lives. They enjoyed that. They enjoyed being together. They went to church together. They went up on the Temple Mount. And there Peter would preach. And they would go up there to worship the Lord. They loved that. They looked forward to it. We have people that are home today because it's not because they're sick. It's not because of anything that really keeps them away. It's just they'd rather not be here. How sad. Because if you think staying away is going to bum me out, you're not coming to worship me. You're coming to worship him. And if you notice, and as you were paying attention, BJ, they're not going to let him pay keyboard for them in the army for a long time, if ever. We need a keyboardist. Anybody here play keyboard? We need a replacement. It doesn't have to be real quick. Next Sunday will do.
Or you can't go until you get a replacement.
I tried that, but it didn't work. It did not work. He said, God called me, and I ain't messing with him. I ain't messing with him. Prejudice is only one of the many problems. So he shows us the truth and then challenges us to apply what he has taught. It would be nice if he would give us time to adjust to this new heavenly way of thinking and behaving. But he doesn't. He expects obedience, family. He expects and he deserves our obedience. He expects faith from you and from me, our trusting him. He expects faith, response to his commands. He expects us to take an action step. Look at Matthew 4:4. If one feels rushed, if one feels uncomfortable, if one sometimes is thinking what the Lord is asking me from his love letter is impossible, get rid of that thought. He wouldn't ask us to do anything at all, if he wasn't going to help us accomplish it. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, who is he? Jesus. Who's he talking to? Satan. But he answered, it is written. It is written. The word of God has been given. The infallible, living, active word of God has been written down. Here it is. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This is what we live by, not this. We live by this. Our feelings may come along, but we live by the living, active Word of God. We're obedient to the Word. The imperative, look at your notes. Do what is right and let the Holy Spirit change your heart. Do what is right and let the Holy Spirit change your heart. That's the imperative. Let's say it together aloud. Do what is right and let the Holy Spirit change your heart. That'll take place in your deep personal experiences with him, in your gnosko time that you enfold yourself into to have those intimate moments with the Lord Jesus. The fact is this, Peter knew what to do, and it's doubtful his obedience made him feel comfortable, but he did what was right. He did it anyway. In fact, Peter's obedience set the stage for Paul's ministry, because Paul's ministry, as you'll recall, when we get back to that point in the book of Acts, was to the Gentile. He's going to plant churches all over Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. He's going to plant churches all over Europe. Our Abba Father knows that our discomfort and the changes that the Holy Spirit wants to make in our lives will not come easily. They'll be uncomfortable to us, but temporary. When we set aside our discomfort to do what he has commanded, he knows the experience will accomplish its task, and then we will be changed. As we read the Word of God, we will be transformed by the Word of God, and we will become these people that are mimicking the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a natural cause and effect. Look at your notes. By our obedience, we will become children of the Most High God, who inspire others to make a positive life transformation. A PLT. Read that aloud with me. By our obedience, we will become children of the Most High God, who inspire others to make a positive life transformation. You see, there are going to be some of the children of God. And in America today, it's lots of them who do not inspire. They make other people say, what's the point? He's like me. She does what I do. They both swear just like I do. If I ask him to go fishing, he'll go fishing on a Sunday. If I ask her to go shopping, well, because we're going to go to the one all the way down in South Bay, she'll give up church to go with me to do that. By our obedience, we will become the children of the Most High God, who inspire others to make a positive life transformation. Action step. If you know you should do something because Jesus says it is right, don't wait for your feelings to give you the go-ahead. Trust him. Respond in faith. Do what is right. And let your feelings follow your obedience. Let your feelings follow your obedience. Get it? Good. Father, you have told us through Paul when he wrote the Roman church in chapter 15, verse 2, we should help others to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Father, may Granada Hills Community Church be a church that moves from where it is in this very moment to the church you want us to be, obedient children who know you as Abba, who know you to be the Most High God, and may you inspire us to be an inspiration to others, that they may hear your gospel and move into a positive life transformation as sons and daughters of yours. Please, Father, may this be true of us, for I ask it in your Son's name. Amen.